Hello and welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Alana Glatt, and today we will be studying Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Perek Lamed, Chapter 30. Yesterday, in Perek Chav Tet, our story spotlight turned back to David and his men, where we found them still caught up in their impossible bind, being expected to march with the Plishtim into war against their very own people, the Bnei Israel. As the Plishti army marched forward, readying themselves for their upcoming battle, many of the Plishti officers noticed David and his men in the back of the troops and grew immensely suspicious. They immediately turned to Achish, asking him, "What are these Hebrews doing here? How could you let David and his men join us in battle like this?" Despite Achish's assurances that David was trustworthy and loyal, his generals remained unconvinced, and ultimately, needing to keep the peace among his own troops, Achish was forced to send David away. Hearing of his immediate dismissal from the royal army, David chose to act both pained and hurt rather than relieved, as he truly felt that he needed to keep up the persona he had built and preserve Achish's full trust in him. And miraculously, our parak closed with David and his men rising up early the next morning and quickly leaving the battlefield, successfully escaping this nearly impossible situation through clear siyata d'shmaya and divine intervention here. As we turn to our learning of Perek Lamed for today, we are about to watch as David and his men will unfortunately come home to face a reality far more difficult than the one they just left behind. Perek Lamed Pasuk Aleph opens up by telling us, "Vayehi bevo David va'anashav tziklag b'yom ha'shlishi, va'amaleki pashtu al negev ve'al tziklag v'yaku et tziklag v'yisrifu ota ba'esh." And so it happened. When David and his men arrived back at their home base of Tziklag on the third day, the Plishti city that Achish had given specifically to David and his men, that tragically, the Amaleki had spread themselves out to the south and to Tziklag. They had attacked Tziklag and burned it completely down with fire. Returning home from what they thought was their toughest time period yet, David and his men expected to return to their homes and to their families, who apparently were able to join up with them at some point before the story took place. But unfortunately, they came home to a reality far worse than they ever could have imagined. There was absolutely nothing left to their city. Everything had been burned to the ground. The Amaleki people, who were perhaps a very small group who managed to somehow escape from Shaul's previous war and rebuild with other indigenous people who joined forces along with them, there are many other explanations for how there were so many Amaleki people here as well. They had somehow managed to trace back the mysterious rummagers of their cities to Tziklag. Despite David having been so careful to leave over no survivors from any given city he would attack, according to the Radak, and therefore, in an act of revenge against them, they came to Tziklag while its men were at war and was left unguarded, and they burned the entire city down to the ground. And Pasuk Bet, Vayishbu et hanashim asher ba mikaton ve'ad gadol, lo himitu ish v'yun hagu v'yelchu l'darkam. And not only did they burn down their city, they also took all of the women and children captive, miraculously sparing their lives and not killing them, but still leading them off back to their own lands. So David and his men not only found their homes completely destroyed, they also found their city empty. Their wives and children were nowhere to be found, and unfortunately, they realized that their families had now been taken captive by foreign enemies. As David and his men took stock of and began to slowly process the scene in front of them, Pesukim Gimel and Dalet tell us that they raised their voices, and they cried, and they cried, and they cried, until they had no more strength in their bodies to cry anymore. The pain and fear of knowing their loved ones were taken, but with no knowledge of anything beyond that, was a pain far too great to bear, and they all cried together until they had no more tears left to cry. Pasuk Hey, Ushtei Nishei David Nishbu, Achinoam HaYisraelit, V'Avigail Eshet Naval HaKarmeli. David's own two wives had been taken captive also, Achinoam of Yisrael and Avigail, the former wife of Naval from Carmel. David didn't yet have children at this time, but his two righteous wives, Achinoam and Abigail, were unfortunately among the captives in this terrible nightmare that they were facing. And although they were all experiencing the fear and the shock together, in these tense and painful moments. And David was personally grieving right alongside them. He now faced an additional challenge. His own men, overwhelmed by their anguish and fear, began turning on him, blaming him, and even threatening to harm him for the situation they believed he had brought upon them. Pasuk Vav, Vateteu leDavid meod, ki amru ha'am lesaklo, ki mara nefesh kol ha'am, ish avanav ve'avanotav, vayitchazik David b'Hashem Elokav. David was very distressed, for the people were ready to stone him, for the soul of all the people was embittered, each over his sons and daughters. Yet despite the indescribable pain, the mounting pressure, and the potential danger to his own life here, the pasuk emphasizes for us that David drew strength from Hashem, his God. According to the Malbim and Mitzudas David, David's men were furious at him. What kind of leader was he that he let them all go to battle with Achish and that he didn't think to leave behind any protection for their families? And in their immense state of pain, they were ready to stone David, threatening to kill him for having brought them into the situation in the first place. Nonetheless, despite all of this, David strengthened himself, reminding himself that the only meaningful thing he could truly do in this very moment was to place his full trust in Hashem. Hashem always has been his savior, and as such, he leaned into that trust that Hashem would help him to see which way he can move forward again from here in the future. According to the Chidah, although the events unfolding before him were truly overwhelming and tragic, even in the thick of darkness and amidst the pain, David was able to detect a strand of light, to see the great kindness of Hashem hidden beneath the surface in this precise moment. He realized that had the Plishti officers not suspected him and sent him back at that exact moment that they did, he and his men might have lost everything forever. Strengthening himself to see Hashem's mercy even within the darkness, David recognized that at least they had discovered this tragic discovery while it was still fresh. Perhaps there was still time for them to act. His awareness of Hashem's kindness is precisely what gave him the strength to keep on going. It reminds me of a story I heard this Yom HaZikaron about an incredible person, Gilad Almaliach, Hashem Yikom Damo, a father of five who lived up my block and was tragically killed while protecting Am Yisrael in Lebanon almost 2 years ago. His sister shared that before his bar mitzvah, he broke both arms and was pretty devastated. Seeing how hard those days were for him, his mother gave him a challenge. Each day, find two examples of Hashem's kindness, which he did. One day, he told her about a bus driver who let him ride the bus for free. Another day, something else. And she said that she watched how it transformed not only that experience, but his entire outlook on life. As she said so beautifully in her Hebrew, "Gam betoch etgar efshar levchor eich lehityaches elav," even within a challenge, you can choose how to respond. Here, David models this for all of us. Even while facing personal grief, a sense of responsibility for the circumstances, and a rising internal threat against him, David chooses to try and seek out the good and to cling to Hashem for the strength to keep on trudging forward, which is truly much easier said than done. So what does he do? Psukim Zayin through Chet tell us that David asks Avyatar HaKohen to bring him the ephod so he can inquire of Hashem as to what his next move here should be. Unlike Shaul's pursuit for the word of Hashem in Perek Chaf Chet, which came back blank and caused him to go through back channels to access such advice, David asked Hashem two questions via the Urim V'Tumim. Though technically, you can only ask one at a time to the Urim V'Tumim, as we have already learned, yet due to the urgency and the severity of the matter, Hashem answered both right away. David asked the Urim V'Tumim if he should go after and pursue the raiders who pillaged his village, and if he will successfully overtake them. And Hashem answered a clear yes to both. Go pursue them, and you will be successful at returning all that was lost to you. So with those God-given assurances, David and his 600 men now got up in Pasuk Tet and went to the river Besor, where some men remained behind. And Pasuk Yud, David and 400 men continued on with their pursuit of Amalek, while 200, who were too weak and emotionally drained to move forward, they remained behind. According to the Malbim, those 200 men who were emotionally and physically drained, they stayed where they were right now and they guarded some of the bags in order to lighten the load for the ones who were advancing forward in this grand pursuit. And now, with 400 men in tow, hurrying quickly on this pursuit of the bandits who had raided their town and taken their families captive, Psukim Yud Aleph through Tzatzayin tell us that they encountered a starving Egyptian man in the fields and brought him immediately before David. And they gave him bread and he ate, and they gave him water and he drank. And as he slowly started to regain a little bit of strength, they then gave him a cake of pressed figs and two raisin clusters, which he slowly ate until his spirit returned to him, for he had not eaten bread or drunken water for 3 days and nights. Despite the urgency of their mission and their need to act with great speed to find their families, David and his men took compassion on this Mitzri man, barely conscious along their way. One of the hallmark characteristics of a Jew is being a Rahman, acting with compassion and mercy towards all people. And once they saw that this man was restabilized, rehydrated, and okay, they then turned to ask him if perhaps, maybe he had any information that could help them in pursuit of their lost family members. So David turned to him and asked him, "To whom do you belong, and where are you from?" And he responded to David, "I am an Egyptian youth. I am the slave of an Amaleki man. But when I became ill 3 days ago, my master abandoned me on the side of the road, leaving me for dead." And he continued telling David crucial information. "We raided the south of the Kreti and the territory of Yehuda and the south of Kalev, and we burned down the entire city of Tziklag with fire." Hearing this, David's eyes lit up. He had just received critical information to help him in tracking down his enemies and hopefully saving the lives of their families. So David quickly followed up and asked him, "Can you lead me to the bands that audaciously burned down the city of Tziklag?" And the Egyptian lad told him, "If you swear to me by God that you will not kill me or hand me back over to my master, the one who treated me with such utter cruelty, then I will lead you to the band." Pasuk Yud Zayin, Vayoridehu, Vihine Netushim al Pnei Kol Haaretz, Ochlim Veshotim Vechogigim, Vechol HaShalal HaGadol Asher Lakhu Me'aretz Plishtim U'Me'aretz Yehuda. Trusting that he would not be harmed, the Mitzri lad led David down. And there they were, spread out across the face of the entire land, eating and drinking and celebrating with all the great spoils that they had taken from the land of the Plishtim and the land of Yehuda. The Amalekim were calmly celebrating, eating and drinking from their plunder, confident that with the Plishtim off at war, no one would come after them. Little did they know what they did face. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vayakim David mehaneshef ve'ad ha'arev lemacharatam. Vilonim lat mehem ish, kiim arba ameot ish, na'ar asher rachvu al gmalim vayanusu. David smote them from twilight until the evening of the next day. Not a man of them survived except 400 youths who were riding camels and fled. David and his men managed to fight for 36 straight hours until they all but destroyed their enemies. Only 400 young men on camels managed to flee. It's interesting how the Navi here describes 400 surviving men as almost negligible here, when in reality, David's own force consisted of only 400 men. It just shows the discrepancy in size between David's camp and those they managed to attack in this miraculous battle. And Rabbi Weissman, in his little midrash says, actually brings to light the significance of these 400 men who survived. He teaches that back in Parshas Vayishlach, when Esav came down to fight Yaakov Avinu, he came forward with 400 men behind him. Yet according to the Medrash, while Esav was deceptively kissing and hugging his brother Yaakov, each of these 400 men slipped away one by one, not wanting to lay their hands on the tzaddik. As such, Hashem therefore rewarded the Amalekim, his descendants, here by sparing the lives of 400 men in this very battle. And then thankfully, Psukim Yud Chet through Yud Tet tell us that David managed to rescue every single person and item that the Amaleki men had taken from them. He managed to safely rescue his two wives and thankfully found that not one person from among them was missing, both young and old, nor was anyone harmed in any way at all. Truly a miracle from Hashem, especially considering David's own actions in these very same cities. According to some opinions, David had to experience the searing pain for having allowed himself to place his trust with the Plishti people during this time, but that Hashem barred any further trouble, as the pain itself was enough to rectify any misdeeds here. Hashem truly calculates every bit of discomfort a person is meant to experience, and not one iota more. And now Psukim Chaf through Chaf Hei tell us that David took all of the Amaleki sheep and cattle, and according to the Mitzudat Zion, also all of the spoils of the Bnei Israels and the Plishtim that they had managed to loot during that time, and declared that everything they had conquered was now considered as part of David's spoils. And that when they managed to march back to their 200 men who had stayed behind, too tired and weak to join in the miraculous battles, the 200 men excitedly went out to join them and to hear all that had transpired. But the Psukim tell us that all of the mean-spirited and base people who had been part of David's army spoke up to David, and they complained that only the ones who put their lives on the front line should get the spoils. The 200 men who remained behind could be reunited with their families, but they didn't feel they deserved any of the rewards from the battle itself. But David did not accept their words. David gently said back to them, Lo ta'asu kenachai et asher natan Hashem lanu vayishmor otanu vayitin et hagdud haba alinu biyadinu. Please do not act like this, my brothers, with that which Hashem has given us, for he has watched over us and delivered into our hands the band that has come upon us. This whole battle was won miraculously in the first place. Everyone will benefit from the spoils that will be divided. And David then set up a new fixed rule for the Bnei Israel, that from then on, the share of those who remain with the baggage shall be the same as the share of those who go down to battle. They shall share alike. And this became a fixed rule from that point moving forward. And our parak ends off for today, Psukim Chafav through Lamed Aleph, telling us, almost in the form of a shira, a song, based on the way it's written if you look inside the text. Though it's not officially one of the 10 shirot, songs in Tanakh, which we learned about together when we learned about Tfilas Chana, telling us about how David divided up the spoils that he and his men had managed to accrue. Although all the spoils officially now belong to him, David spent some time attempting to return much of the spoils back to the rightful owners, and then he gave much of the spoils to the Zakenim of Yehuda, saying, This is a present for you from our spoil of Hashem's enemies. And the Psukim, almost again like a lyrical song, list all of the places he sent the spoils to those in Beit El, Ramot Negev, Yatir, Aroer, Shifmot, Eshtemoa, Rachel, to those in the cities of the Yerachma'eli, and those in the cities of the Keni, and Horma, Bor Ashan, Atach, Hebron, and to all the places where David and his men had hidden from Shaul. Ending off today's parak with this type of song is here to remind us that despite the grave danger and difficult challenges that David has been experiencing through much of our learning together, he always managed to see the divine hands in each step of the way, and this victory will truly be one which will help set the stage for his melucha, his kingship, to take root in the near future. Unfortunately, though, before we can watch the kingdom of David finally begin to rise in tomorrow's perek, our final chapter for the Sefer of Shmuel Aleph, we will first have to watch as Shaul's own kingdom will tragically come to a close. Thank you so much for learning this perek together. Today's perek is dedicated to the safety and peace of Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. May the words of Nach uplift us and give us strength during these challenging times.